Well, we're back at Wildfire. My name's Marjorie David. I'm one of the executive producers. I'm the head writer, and I wrote this episode, as well as the one that left you hanging about who would win the great race between Avatar and Wildfire. So now they're coming into the stretch, and as you can see, it's very close. The black horse is Avatar, and he's running behind Wildfire. And in this one shot, you can see our whole family, all of the Ritters and all of the Davises, except for the Davis kids, rooting for their person. Now, if you don't remember, if you'd like to know how these things are done, it's kind of interesting. We get footage from various racetracks of races where horses look like our horses. Like our Wildfire is a bay horse, and Avatar is a black. And we cut that in with real footage of our actors sitting on these sort of amazing fake horses that bounce up and down as they run. They have a very nasty name for these horses, but anyway, they're pretty good looking actually and seem real. And I think you can see that Chris is in the orange and Tina is in the black and orange, and that's stock footage again. And Avatar is winning. Bad luck for Chris. But if you noticed, what happened was that Chris was thrown by something that Tina said, and that's key to the fact that she lost the race. And you'll see as you watch this year how Chris brings herself to become a superior jockey, how she resists responses like that, or maybe the right thing to do is to respond. So now here we are in the title sequence with the song no one can remember the words to. Maybe you notice that Jean's hair color has changed. I think she looks great. Well, this is after the race. Really beautiful shots of Santa Anita. And we actually film at a racetrack in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You might remember that there was a very nasty double play in which Tina was supposed to ride Wildfire. So Chris got to ride Wildfire because Tina backed out. On the other hand, Tina betrayed everyone by riding Avatar. I actually left the speech. This was a good speech because it was a real explanation of Pablo's idea of riding. It's an instinctive and emotional activity that also goes along with horsemanship. And I think in later episodes we'll learn that there are other ways that people treat horses and other ways that people ride. Haha, here's Danny. She's DVR'd the race. You might remember that when we left Danny, she was just drinking herself silly, watching the race. What we're going to find out now is that Tina's just there for the check, and so she's caused terrible trouble for both of our families that we love, and now off she goes. And you also might remember that she played havoc with Matt, but he's getting over it now. It might be interesting to you how we shoot these things. they're shot in different sections, not in order. And this was supposed to be the back part of the racetrack, but in fact, we had to go someplace else that day. It's all on a schedule, and it's all set up to match. And so there are people working all the time to match the costumes and, you know, even the way your hair is, you know, fluffing out of place. So all these scenes seem to connect in a fluid way, but we have a wonderful crew that spends all its time making sure that things match, that people remember what they said the last time, and that they're in the right place with the right feelings. And our actors, of course, are wonderful. And you might notice here that Gene's triangle is working out too, because there wasn't much of it in the previously on Wildfire, but Charlie here actually gave Matt's father, Pete, the money to pay his gambling debts. But Charlie is a great guy, and so he never would tell that he gave the money. Now Chris is coming out of the jockey's dressing room. In real life, that's a really interesting thing, because the men and women share jockey dressing rooms in real life, and the women have a little section off to the side. And so she doesn't really look much like a jockey when she comes out of there. I think they're incredibly cute together. But are they just meant to be friends forever? I don't know. We'll find out. As you may recall, Junior left home and nobody yet knows where he is. And Danny, who's hanging around the house instead of going to a very important party, is preoccupied with a kind of after drinks munchies. Ugh. The line, "This pie is incoherent," might be one of my favorite things I ever wrote. It's actually true. And I have to say, Nicole is so great. There's just not a minute when she slips out of her Danny-ness. As you may recall, Danny and Junior do not have the same mother. And even after searching and searching and searching, Danny came up sort of with the wrong mother and brought back Isabel, who is not the nicest person in the world. So she's the first one to realize that Junior's gone away, and Junior's waiting for a bus. And I think cut out of the scene, oh, here comes Molly Blitzer, the blabbermouth. But one of the things that I think was cut out of the scene is that Junior's sitting on a bench waiting for a bus that doesn't stop there anymore, because he knows nothing about the bus system in his local town. As you can see, he is not Molly's biggest fan. The Blitzer family was sort of made to be the most oblivious family in the United States of America. You may notice that Molly's brother, I keep saying you may notice, her brother is Sheriff Blitzer, who's also kind of a dope. Here's the reporter who's been reporting on the Ritter family on, and she's always thought that Pablo is cute, and Pablo thinks that she's cute too. So I think in this story we're beginning to move Pablo along from being only a horse whisperer to someone who has a personal life and feelings and gets to know other people, and this is the start of it, even though it's just a little cute plot. We do these big party scenes at, I think this was done in the same place as this is the country club, and it's the same actual location as the Davis House. And the Davis House belongs to some lovely people whose name is Caruso, and who actually let us come in there and use their house all the time. It's a gorgeous house. It's perfect Davis. And the idea here is that they're in a pavilion a little bit of a distance away from the main house. Davis is a character who has a lot of internal contradictions. He really is not a nice guy or a particularly good father, but he has a lot of feelings that have been hidden deep down for a long time. They're talking now about a new character, Carrie Connolly, and that's Kieran Hutchinson, who in real life is married to Nicole Tubiola, who is Danny. But he's going to be very important this year. He's a sports agent, and he sees all the possibilities in Chris. And they're just starting to get to know each other here, so this is his first introduction. And he's given the sort of agent rap, you're wonderful, you're fantastic. But Chris is still worrying about somebody else. Everything in these scenes is thought through pretty clearly, even down to the dress that Chris is wearing. There was another choice that was a little more low-cut and a little more daring. And talking with Jen and talking with a costumer, Barcy, we decided that what we needed was something that was a little less plungy and exciting, because she's not in the best mood in the world. She did well in the race, but she didn't win. And that's something that sticks with somebody like Chris, who thinks that winning is important. And she's not wrong. Kind of hard to resist this guy. Just so you know, Jen and Nicole are very good friends. Yeah, nobody, Danny is not in a good mood. You can see that the director, Rob Thompson, covered it so that we see everyone's reaction to what Danny tells her father. So if you're watching it as a film, you can see how it's cut, and it was very well cut, to be, you know, to land on everyone at important times and to tell us what they all are thinking.